the thing is here, these guys, they don't have any money. Their lives were ruined kind of before this happened. You know, these people don't have any jobs. They don't have any gainful employment. They have no monetary prospects for anything, let alone a lawyer to sue Kyle Rittenhouse. However, I do believe they are now paid operatives to go ahead and do this lawsuit because, I mean, they've already won. They're just going to be used. It doesn't matter if they lose the lawsuit. They're already being paid. And they're being paid to try their best to tear Kyle Rittenhouse down, obviously. And, I mean, it's just, I smell the stink of the feds all over this one. It's one of those obvious things. And if you can subvert the law using mainstream media opinion, which that is the second court, which you got to go through these days when things blow up so big, it's just a way for the left, the extreme left, to get their narrative pushed and made successful, no matter how wrong that they are. So I hope that people keep their wits about themselves, not fall to the sensationalism, and support Kyle through this endeavor. And I'll pass it on.
Ryerson, take this particular topic out.
Oh, this is me at my best with my humor. What more can I say to this one? These guys have no leg to stand on. They are of questionable character, and they're freaking reaching and they're grasping at straws. So, thank you, Stephen He. I don't need to say any more than that. I'm done.
This whole thing is basically being done for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to this is basically it's being done to kind of an attempt to destroy Kyle Rittenhouse. The whole thing about this is that, I mean, yeah, they're just basically, they're doing this because they can. That's the way the legal system is set up. We'll see. Okay, the next topic here, again, Angel. Oops, hold on a second.
Timestamp.
Timestamp to the second, please.
Yes, it's 12 midnight 09, so it's 12:09 a.m. here
No,
in
no, no. I mean, no. I mean not the timestamp, but I mean on the call, the record, the timestamp on the call.
Oh, my bad. 25:17.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. So the next topic. Oh, poor Harry and Meghan. Oh my goodness. Because we all know, apparently, actually not apparently, Meghan did an episode. I'm trying to remember which particular show down in California where one of the lead actors was getting serviced in the back of the car, and then Megan's head pops up.
Lady.
Oh my God.
Well then.
Megan is, I mean, I don't know how Diana would have held up under scrutiny like this, because apparently Diana was also apparently fairly self-centered and whatever. But I mean, the more I find out about Megan in particular, the less I like her. I mean, I mean, first of all, I got to admit, of all the royals, I actually probably at least initially had the most respect for Harry. Prince Harry. I mean, unfortunately, he married a high maintenance biracial, and I don't want to bring that up as an issue, but when Queen Elizabeth died, there were like literally people saying that Meghan should become the queen because it's time for a non-white to be queen. Yeah, people were that stupid when Elizabeth died. I personally didn't care that Meghan Markle was half black. There were, because for instance, myself and Nihilist back when we were still doing the MGTOW Master Series, and I posted this up, I got some people from the far right that actually brought up her race, and like my response was like, yeah, so I mean, you're talking to, I mean, both myself and Rearson have both slept with black women. I mean, we're not particular, right? I mean, I would prefer if she's not like 300 pounds, but I mean, you know, I'm not particular.
Hey, more cushion for the pushing, homie.
Yuga.
Finally, somebody said it.
You can do it.
Oh, okay. I'll just send them over to Captain Ahab. He's stationed outside of Victoria's Secret.
Or in Poland. I mean,
no, come talk on. That anyway. Secret. You know, the secret is that Victoria used to be a man, baby.
There are some things that truly cannot be unseen, but, you know, I'm going to find that particular photo. I'm going to post it up. This was the Victoria's Secret photo for Valentine's Day. Let me see if I can find it here. I think it's actually still. Where the hell is it? Well, I'll find it. Anyway, so South Park came up with another one of their classic episodes, and thank God we still have South Park here to kind of take the edge off of some of this stuff, because it was a thing. But I mean, again, right? I mean, Harry and Meghan, I mean, they claim they wanted to leave the royal family to get privacy. And what's the first thing they do when they get to North America is Meghan starts making harebrained political comments and starts being like this quasi celebrity who's literally famous for not the only thing that Meghan has actually done of any caliber was actually marrying Harry in the first place. It's pretty obvious that he's turned Harry into a literal and proverbial whipped cock. South Park did the please stop paying attention to us privacy tour. Meghan Markle, and I'm going to have to assume this came from Meghan Markle because I don't really think Harry would. Harry grew up around this, so I mean, he probably doesn't give a shit, but I think this probably came from Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle. Well, Harry grew up in that environment, so he's used to being, you know, he's used to people in the media mocking the royals, right? So, I mean, and he also basically did actual military service and whatever. So, I mean, I think he's probably used to people mocking the royals. Meghan Markle, however, seems to think that she's somehow important for basically more or less just taking a protein pickup from Harry and marrying him. They literally started talking about lawsuits.
You went there, but that's to be expected.
I didn't use a swear word. That's a bonus.
yeah, okay.
Like, use the protein, but I mean, yeah. I mean, so yeah, at one point, literally, they were talking about attempting to sue South Park. Yeah, I wish I was making that up, but I'm not. And I mean, I can remember, you know, when Harry and Meghan got married and all of the press around this and like going like, am I the only one who seriously doesn't care about this? And apparently I am not the only person that cares about this. I don't care about these two, but they keep like Meghan just cannot. And this, I'm of the firm belief this is all coming from Meghan. Meghan just cannot quietly go away. You know, if I were to put money down, I am going to probably say that at some point Harry is just going to divorce Meghan at some point. Don't know when that's actually going to happen. Harry is living there. They're living in the U.S. now. There's no way that could, because I happen to know that red pill thinking and philosophy has basically penetrated even the highest echelons of society, that Harry at the very least has heard of the concept. I don't know if he's at, if he's actually looked into it, or if he's actually got anybody around him that's red pilled, but statistically speaking, there's a very high probability that there's at least one person either a step removed from him, either in Harry's group or a step removed from Harry, that is and has been red pilled, because the got that whole particular, and red pill is kind of like a catch-all term, right? I mean, I understand that some people think that red pill is cringe. Those people can go bleep themselves. You know, I'm proud of the fact that I took the red pill, but yeah, there's somebody, yes, likely a step removed from Harry, that knows about the red pill philosophy. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, and even if it doesn't, the manosphere is getting to the point where it's going to be, from a statistical point of view, somebody in Harry's like either immediate circle or in the one step removed is also going to know about the manosphere. So, I mean, it's going to dawn on Harry at some point that the mother of his child is toxic. Now, maybe she's not, maybe her public face isn't as bad as her private face, because that's happened. But, you know, the fact that they would even consider a lawsuit against South Park for this kind of tells me that they're maybe living in a little too much of a bubble. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Angel.
Harry Carey here, and I'm going to sing you a national anthem here in Chicago, Crime City Field. Me and the wife beat the dust years ago, but we still going to sing the anthem. Oh, wait, that's not the Harry Carey you're talking about. Let me put Angel back in the line here.
That was incredibly deep. That's so powerful that I think I may just have to stop doing the show.
I think Harry Carey, I don't know what happened, but he came from the dead to like just lay that on you. Thanks, Harry Carey. Seriously, though, if they ever make a movie of these nincompoops, they should call it When Harry Met Meghan. What do you think, guys? Huh?
Oh, that would be a great idea.
Now, aside from that, didn't we leave England hundreds of years ago to like get away from the royal families and scandals and England altogether? Like, in America, I think that's the reason why we left, right?
The U.S. did, Canada didn't, so...
Well, shame on you, that's all your fault, but we in America, why do we have to, like, you know, put up with this nonsense? I mean, to be honest with you, personally, I could, you know, give a rat's patootie what these fools in England are going through with the royal family and the royal scandals. You know, we got problems of our own, homies, and we don't need to, like, you know, be so taken away with what happens in Prince or King Charles's family with his kids or not. And besides, isn't this the one of the royal boys that supposedly they think that Diana had out of wedlock with the driver, and he's not really part of the royal family? Huh? Isn't that the one?
I've heard, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like he's the only redhead. He's like literally, he might literally be the redheaded stepchild.
I think so. Now, for two idiots, and I'm just call him that, him and his wife are a couple idiots. For these two moron idiots who left the royal family, right? They said, oh, we want our privacy, our privacy. And they left because they wanted to, like, live a normal life. They have done nothing but cry, act like royal babies, and they have done nothing but make themselves into Newsoms. Not Gavin Newsom, but just they're numbskulls. And the funniest part is they're suing South Park? South Park? Really? Come on. I mean, after all this is said and done, you know that Trey Parker and Matt Stone are going to come out with one of the greatest episodes ever to destroy them even further. And I love South Park. I cannot wait to see that. With that said, I turn it over back to you, Naroki, and I bid you farewell for this
one. All right, V, you're up.
Well, okay. So I'm going to have to disagree with you there a little bit, Naroki. This guy, you want to talk about toxic women? Okay, this is the royals you're talking about, these people. Are the very definition of toxic. This is toxicity is nothing new to Prince Harry. Okay, you're gonna. The only thing that's gonna get him to divorce Meghan is if somehow there's a huge bonus of money and he's going to be made the king directly, and there's a woman to replace her. I'm going to tell you, there's no post-nut clarity for Harry. Meghan Markle is doing things for him in the bedroom most adult porn actresses would blush about talking about. Okay? This girl's got technique that is very improper for an Englishman to be experiencing.
She got a pert mouth.
So, this is like some Will Smith Jada stuff. Yeah, he doesn't care. He's this lawsuit. Yeah, I think this is all Meghan. So he's just gonna ride along with it, and I mean that's just gonna be that. I mean, if she gets angry about something, well, he's got to be angry too. I think they both need to just go to what was the Red Table, the Jada Pickett show, Red Table Talk.
That's painful to watch, man. The Jada Pickett Red Table.
Painful.
Dude, I'd rather be the guy that gets shot in the bicep over and over again from Kyle than sit there and watch that show. That's how painful it is.
It's like when you watch a show like that, it's like, okay, maybe there is a valid reason to not let women have free speech and vote. But
wow. Oh, okay. All right.
Wow. Woo. Did I look that good? Oh man, but yeah, I think, and you guys keep saying that you know they left the royal family. They were disowned by the queen, were they not?
No, they. My understanding, the official story is that they left.
Okay, my sources say that they were disowned because Meghan's black. They weren't even upset about the Jewish part, but no, she's black. No. They were actually barred from visiting the funeral, attending the funeral.
Wait, a black Jew? Who would have thought
of that? Oh my gosh. Oh, I know, right? Israelite. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but so like Americans, I know everybody loves drama. I don't care what goes on with the royals. They are obviously not aware that America is not a colony of Britain anymore, and they can't just sue somebody for setting them up in fictional scenarios in a TV show. That's literally what our entertainment industry is built on. the fact that they can sue over that, they're so overly privileged. I will agree that they are in their own bubble because this is what was created for them. That's all they know. And I wish they would spend time being more than just private citizens, but how about being productive instead of just living on their severance package, being rich snobs in another freaking country? Once you be productive, once you contribute to society, you actually have a chance, a real chance as a royal, to do so. To actually help society instead of being vampire overlords. So, yeah, anyways, I'll pass it to whoever's next.
That would be Rearson.
Well, as tempting as it is for me to play the emotional damage of again, certainly fits the if the shoe fits, wear it. The woman is absolutely clueless, or perhaps it was a case of, well, I really like South Park. These guys are really funny. They just made fun of you there. Those bleep 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 bleep.
Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, I was going to say, from what I've been able to understand a little bit, is that President Grant, after the Civil War, had apparently signed the U.S. back over to English territory. They just kind of keep it all on the down low. I'm just looking into that. But anyway, I think I'm more of the opinion that this is a great way to wake people up as to how it was talked about recently enough or just before with these, that the royal family is incredibly toxic, terribly. I've seen pictures of who Dinah was probably sleeping with. He was a Scottish guy. But then again, too, there was apparently we had this topic up, or I brought this up before a long time ago, that apparently someone who said he was Prince Harry was gunned down by 15 special force officers equivalent in the UK. I can't remember what it was, 10 or 15 police officers, an exorbitant amount. So I really don't have much to say on this whole thing except didn't care for her to begin with. I know that Harry has been in Calgary and was dating one of the bar wenches at Cowboys, one of the places you apparently should go to, and I've been there a couple of times myself in my youth. Not that I'm walking old, decrepit old man, but
yeah, Cowboys is actually pretty close to where you are, isn't it?
It's on Stampede Grounds. So.
Oh, okay. No, obviously it's moved then.
Oh, yeah. No, it moved locations. It was down. It was off of 8th Avenue. No, 9th Avenue and 8th Street and 9th Avenue. But they relocated to Stampede. And it's, I expect that it probably is a staple that you have to go to when you're here at some point in time. In terms of Meghan, well, assuming that she's even female, I never knew at the time anymore anyway. Yeah, I went there, I don't care. I always felt that she always struck me as being, a detention whore. I mean, there is one woman, I haven't seen her in a little, I haven't talked with her in a little bit, but she was kind of frothing at the mouth because it's just one of those, you go, girl, you know, typical, nothing personal, V, nothing personal, but typical.
How dare you?
Well, I did, and I don't care. I'll do it again.
You, sir, I find to be detestable.
Well, like I said,
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Emotional damage.
That's what this whole thing's all about. It's her feces, might as well turn it into feces, has been hurt. Don't care. I don't. I really hate having to censor myself right now because I just want to swear up a bloody freaking storm right now. Damn you and your. Anyway, but then again, I guess you could ding us on all of them. It's so to just read a froth out of the mouth on this one, but I won't. Oh my god.
It's not becoming of a lady to have such a potty mouth.
Oh, you're saying, oh, wow. I just had a new one dripped for me, and it's not a new exit orifice either. Lovely, thank you. I think I just felt my pelvis change shape completely, then I might even be able to give birth. Thanks!
Well, maybe you're a wizard and not a muggle.
Well, I assure you, I was born with an apple, I've got a banana, I'll leave it at that. Oh, good God. Yeah, emotional damage. That's it. That's all that this one's also built on as well, too. Actually, now that I think about it, I should have Kyle Rittenhouse and then Megan. Well, they are right after each other. Never mind. Can't take a joke. Well, grow up. Still can't take a joke. Eat crap and die. And that's all I gotta say. That's all I gotta say. I'm going to look that up about history. Okay,
all right. Are we done on this one? All right.
Stamp.
4827.
4827. Okay, so now we're getting into the...
Lady!
To the Hollywood stuff. Okay, so... Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. It wasn't... I did go actually... Oh my god, the potato penis again. And
continue.
Oh my god, I'm not gonna shake that. I'm not gonna get that image out of my head again. Okay, so I went to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp. Probably after when it first came out. I'd seen the reviews. I generally try to avoid the reviews, but I mean, the stuff that I saw ahead of time, it had the look of it. They weren't flattering. And I mean, when I first did the review and I first looked at it and I first saw the budget, it was like, oh, you mean to tell me they only spent 60 million on it? Oh, well then they're doing great, because I mean, like the initial run on it, if the budget had just been 60 million, I mean, they would actually be up. They would have actually doubled their money. But then I did another quick review tonight before the show started, because I was still hearing conflicting stories about Quantumania, and turns out the budget was 200 million, not 60 million. So it's going to lose, as of right now, it's down about $240 million. Now, I saw the movie. The only thing, I'm going to give it about a 5 or 6. There was, I mean, okay, yes, the visuals were fantastic, but I mean, I've seen the visuals that the MCU puts out now, so that particular part doesn't really do anything. You just kind of expect that now with a Marvel movie, with one of the MCU movies. The other part on this is that like, the characters, the story wasn't particular. I mean, like, the way the story was written wasn't particularly well written. It's based out of San Francisco, and yet Scott Lang, a.k.a. Ant-Man's child, seems to be completely clueless and oblivious to what San Francisco was actually like.
Hey, you got to put some money in the sword jar there, buddy.
Keep it high and tight now. Come on.
Okay,
now.
Yeah, all right. So it seems to be...
Don't look at me.
All right, so there's a feces mod. There's a feces map of San Francisco. There's a feces model map of San Francisco that it was like literally so bad that it was like the entire downtown San Francisco was black.
Have you been to San Francisco recently?
No, I have, however, been through the downtown east side of Vancouver, drove down Hastings Street through Hastings Street in the downtown east side, which is as bad as any neighborhood they've got in San Francisco.
No, but let me tell you something. San Francisco has two lovely things right now that's going for it. The smell of poo and the heroin injected needles on the floor.
That's true. Well, if you go down Hastings Street in Vancouver, you get to see all that stuff happening right in front of you too. So I mean, apparently in San Francisco, it's like everywhere, as opposed to where in Vancouver, where it's concentrated in just one really bad area. And Scott Lang's daughter in this particular movie is not an especially likable character. And of course, you know, they've got racial diversity in it. I mean, the introduction of Bill Murray at one point was kind of interesting. There really wasn't anything about this movie that made it all that spectacular. It wasn't, you know, and that was just it. They should have just stopped at Avengers Endgame and just ended the MCU, but they wanted to keep making money off of it, and it's just Yeah, back in 2019, they should have just stopped when Iron Man snapped his fingers on the gauntlet and sent Thanos away, and that should have been the end of it right there. I really don't have that much to say. Good visuals. It's got some good visuals. It's got a decent. It's the acting's not bad. It's like all of the stuff that you keep hearing, all the bad stuff you keep hearing about Hollywood, came out in this movie. They spent as much time checking the boxes as they did actually telling the story, and they probably overspent on the production budget of this movie. Because, I mean, if they'd cut the production budget in half right now, if they cut it in half, they'd be up. They would have been a moneymaker. If they had slopped off $50 million on it, they probably would be able to just crawl to the break-even point, right? It's movies like, and by the way, Ant-Man Quantumania is not the worst movie out there, but it's not the best. It's a very blah movie, and I can understand why it got panned by the critics. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Angel.
Okay. First, Naroki, not to insult you, but clearly you don't know how box office results work.
Oh, I know how box office results work. It's $200 million for the production budget.
Let me explain why. Because this movie just came out on the 17th. It already made $367 million worldwide.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers right now.
I'm looking at Box Office Mojo. Hold on, let me speak.
I'm actually looking at Box Office Mojo too.
Okay, it's made 171 domestic, 196 foreign. This is the first week. This is not by any means a disaster or a bomb when it's already almost at $400 million and the budget was $200 million. Means it has to make $400 million to break even. Meaning it's already going to break even within the first week and a half. See, this is what you don't understand. Everything after that is actually revenue coming in, which is above the red line. Meaning they're now making profit. Now what happens is Once they pass that party where they're no longer in the loss, which is the 400 million threshold, they split down the middle with the theaters, 50-50 times 40-60, they split the revenue. So everything that comes in after 400 million, they're splitting with theaters, so they're actually going to be making tons of money on this movie. And let me tell you something. I've been a fan of Ant-Man comics for many years. This movie is actually telling a story that continues from the first two. And it's done I think it did a very nice job continuing the story. It's important in the MCU. It's ridiculous to say that they should have stopped that Endgame. There's so much more stories to tell. If they would have stopped that Endgame, we would not be getting more Spider-Man stuff. We would not be getting Secret Wars, which they're really talking about doing, and there are actually negotiations going on behind the scenes where they might bring in some DC characters from Warner Brothers into the Secret Wars. I mean, are you serious? This is like the epic time for these kind of movies. Me personally, I love Ant-Man. I'm a huge fan of what they're doing with MCU. I do not like the MCU, but I think they're starting to realize that the woke nonsense is not working, and they're actually going to pull back a little bit. I know Warner Brothers is doing that on their end, which is great to see. They're doing that with Star Wars. If you guys saw Mandalorian, the first episode, excellent. Season 3 just got put on the Disney Plus. But back to Ant-Man and let me tell you, the budget being at $200 million is nothing. The first two movies performed under this one already in the first week. This movie is going to be bigger than 1 and 2. It is not that bad. I mean, but, you know, movies are subjective. You can hate it or you can love it. But this is not a bad film in any way. And it's, you know, for as far as the daughter, you know, that's subjective whether you like her acting or not. But she is a, you know, representation of what happens in life. Your kids grow up. And not only that, in the comics, there is a daughter. And she acts very much like she's acting in the live action. So it is very much like the comics. Go read some of them, Naroki, and I guarantee you your opinion is going to change. I mean, have you ever read the Ant-Man comics? I mean,
yeah, I'll let you finish and then I'll respond, okay?
Well, I mean, they've done a very good adaptation of those comics on here. And as far as diversity, they had his crew from the first two movies. They were quite diverse. So, I mean, there's always been diversity in these comics. You know, one thing about the fandom in this world, everybody has an opinion, but everybody thinks they're right. But nobody wants to go back and talk about the source material and understand that these are adaptations, not literal interpretations of the comics. So you're going to get slight changes, this and that. But as long as they're true to the source, meaning in spirit and form, hey, that's the best you're going to get. And I love the fact that they're as true to the comics as possible, and they're still within the modern-day take on Ant-Man. With that, I will shoot it right back at you, Naroki, and take it away.
Okay, yeah, so
my understanding is that the marketing budget and distribution budget is double the production budget.
That is,
yeah, correct. So if it's 200 million, then the production budget,
no,
and the distribution budget, etc., is 400 million. So it needs to clear, between 5 and 6.
It was 80 million on this movie. That was the budget set aside for any production marketing. And every movie.
Where did you see that? Sorry, where did you see that? Because my understanding is that the distribution and marketing budget is at least is at minimum the same amount as the production budget.
No.
Usually, we're obviously going to disagree on this.
Oh, I'll get you some facts on that later in the rookie, but I mean, no movie does that because then no movie will ever make money. And every movie spends, depending on the size of the film, they spend from 50 to 100 million around there on marketing, aside from the production budget. But even if the movie you need to make 600 million, this movie is in the first week of its run. You think it's going to make any more money from here to, like, 3 months from now? Come on, man.
Okay, well, again, right, it's...
Nonsense, booby pants.
No, okay, right. It has to get between 5 and 6. You know, at least from my understanding, it has to get between at least 5 and 6. It's got a decent chance of doing it. I didn't say it was a bad movie. I just said it was unremarkable. Right?
It's doing pretty well internationally. I mean, 196 million. I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be break even. But I mean, again, right? It's got to be somewhere between 5 and 6 before it even gets to break even. It's got a decent chance of doing that. I mean, 367 million the first week. So the next week, it maybe gets about 40 to 50% of that. So it's got a decent shot of breaking even for sure, even at the $600 million mark. So, I mean, you know, that doesn't take away from the fact that it's, I mean, again, we're going to disagree on this. I just thought it was a really blah kind of movie. There wasn't anything remarkable about it. You know, it's got all of the slick MCU stuff in it.
But it's got to be at least between 5 and 600 million before it even starts to break even. It's probably going to get there, right? I didn't say it was a bad movie. Right, but my understanding is that the distribution and marketing budget is at least 1.5 to 2 times the production budget. So that would mean that it has to clear somewhere. It has to start getting to around 500 million before it even gets to break even. And yeah, movies do actually
get your numbers
over
that all off, homie. I'm telling
okay,
you.
Okay, right. I mean, then you're the only. Yeah, sorry. Angel, then you're the only one that's ever told me that. Sorry.
Well, everybody's been lying to you. Remember, I worked in movie theaters. I worked with this closely. I don't know how to
describe. I mean, I've worked in the industry too, man. My understanding is that if it's a movie though, has got $100 million budget, it has to clear $300 million at the box office to be guaranteed of a profit. Anyway, we're obviously not gonna agree on this one. I think it's gotta is it gonna be break even? Yeah. Is it gonna be a hit? Probably not. There's nothing about this movie that really makes it stand out.
And did it open a number one? Is it gonna make more money than it cost? That's already a hit.
Okay, there are movies that have opened up at number one in the last few months that didn't go anywhere. Like, that's not an indicator. Like, there have been movies that have opened up at number one. In fact, we've done reviews on this show of movies that opened up at number one that ended up being the Black Queen, for instance, the African Queen. Or, sorry, what was that one with
Wakanda Forever?
No, not Wakanda Forever. The one with the black female warriors, that opened up at number one and stayed number one for 2 weeks. Okay, it was a slow time of the year.
Yeah, but that wasn't a Marvel movie, though.
Yeah, I mean, but again, right, it opened up at number one. So, I mean, you know, just because something opens up at number one doesn't necessarily mean it's going to turn a profit. Anyway, V, you're up.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the movie yet because obviously I can't torrent it yet. people can have their varying ranges of opinions of these kind of movies, especially in the Marvel universe. Each Marvel movie doesn't have to be number one big banger. I think the point of it is it's like a comic book. You know, next episode, next episode, next episode. Correct. Not every comic book is going to be just priceless. So, it's my understanding that whenever you get the marketing budget that is the same cost of making the movie, you've got a planned out trilogy already. That's the only time that really kind of occurs. So you both are kind of right and you both are kind of wrong. Or maybe it's just medium information. I don't know. It's not my area of expertise at all. But that's just from what I know. I hope that... this is Ant-Man and the Wasp. Not exactly... I mean, they're great characters. Don't get me wrong. Definitely the earliest. Some of the earliest. But I think... where Marvel's going to shine is if they get some new characters that aren't freaking woke, and then that might create a whole new thing. You know, they keep rehashing the characters that we all know, we all have expectations. Some of these expectations are automatically going to be, you know, subverted. They need to come out with brand new characters that aren't politically charged, that just have their own personal stories, their own personal bubbles that we can get sucked into and go from there. That's the only failure that I see with all this. I know Aquaman, I know Ant-Man, I know all these characters. I've read all these comic books. I'm a comic book nerd too. It's just, you know... For example, I got super excited when Static Shock came out.
Oh, yeah, that DC, was good.
DC picked that up. You know, that to me was like, wow, cool. DC's actually doing something cool, especially with a black character. And that wasn't politically charged. The cartoon was awesome.
Have you never seen Spawn? I mean, we've had black characters before.
Spawn, great example.
My goodness.
Especially the anti-heroes. That's my thing. Anti-heroes and the so-so villains that
Blade.
Kind of relate with. Yeah.
Oh, Blade rocked, man. Blade rocked.
Blade is my favorite comic of all time, is the Blade series. I have the three posters on my wall. I'm not even kidding.
For me, it would be a tie between Blade and Spawn. For sure. So that goes to show my point. That does not prove my point. So that's we're going to expect same results out of every Marvel movie, out of every DC movie, until they come up with something different and detached from the political atmosphere. And that's all I got to say on that. Go ahead.
Rearson.
Honestly, I got nothing on this one. I have listened to Flip to Give, and Naroki, you were right. I mean, it would have made sense for them to pack it up and to do whatever, but that means that Marvel has fulfilled whatever.
Why? How?
The superhero genre of movies are going to still be around. They're going to linger probably, I'm guessing, for about another 10 years at the most, and hopefully it's going to just...
No, man, there's so many stories to tell.
Not saying that there isn't. The Marvel, and consequently indirectly, Disney, well, let's call it for what it is. Disney and DC are trying to reinvent the wheel. And they're doing a piss poor job at it. The only reason why that they're keeping the movie series, the movies going at this point, is it's really the only thing that's making Marvel profitable. You know, when was the last time that there was a half decent comic that came on Marvel recently enough? I mean, we've already gone over not Spider-Man, Superman being gay at one point. Kind of, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be sticking anything in my body.
But Superman is not gay. It's his son.
Whatever the case may be. Okay, well, fine.
And that's in the Ellsworth.
His son is Cooper.
Who cares? It's not even canon.
It's Superman!
It was a limited run. It's not part of the canon of Superman. So, like, I don't even understand what people are talking about.
I'm going to blast you with my rainbow vision.
It's Superman!
If you don't like it, don't read it. Who cares?
Should be shooting webbing out of his butt or something else.
Hey, that's anatomically correct. Come on now.
Well, she ain't going anywhere.
Sodomizing in the old comic book way.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Marvel's track record for comics is abysmal. It is just awful. Mind you, I haven't collected a comic in... Yeah, it's working on 30 years now. I mean, when Marvel was at its best was when they had... God, I was in grade A when it came out, was Secret Wars series. It was a 12... Yeah, it was 12... Yeah, it was a 12-part series. Everything that revolved around...
Hold on, so let me ask you a question. So you haven't been reading Marvel recently, right? So how do you know there are not any good comics out?
Well, I don't, but I'm going to assume given
the current... Exactly. So again, you're speaking,
comic sales are kind of an indication.
You're making assumptions. Actually, traditional comic book sales are down. Online comic is actually up. The sales for like the online versions, that's actually making way profit.
Of course it is, because there's decent independent content out there that's way better than anything that Marvel and DC are putting out.
Well, again, if you guys are not reading, I hate to disagree. I've been reading some comics recently from Marvel, and they're killing it. Deadpool Kills is an awesome paperback. If you haven't seen Deadpool Kills, the Marvel Universe Omnibus, get that paperback. It's awesome. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff coming out, but if you guys are not reading,
the comic book sales, the actual comic book sales are definitely way down. I mean,
but that's been going on for 30 years because the online community has made it all digital now.
It's all digital, and here's the thing about the digital stuff is that you can produce independent comic books digitally. And there's a lot of independent comic sales because most of the best stuff isn't coming out from Marvel. Yeah, you still have decent titles coming out from Marvel and DC, but you also have a lot of stuff coming out of, and they seem to be getting gradually worse and worse and worse, and it's reflecting in the comic book sales. How it's doing online is another story, right? But the comic book sales, like the comic book stores, for instance, are not because doing very well at all.
There's not many comic book stores anymore in the world. Remember, a lot of that stuff closed down due to poor sales for years because of the online community. And also because of COVID 2020, that closed a bunch of stores down. But when I say online community, people still buy the books online, the regular hard books, but also digital copies sell like crazy for all brands. Digital copies are just taking over the game, that's all. But there's a lot of good stuff coming out. You just got to read the stuff. I Am Iron Man, that came out this year, is a great title, and we're only a few months in. And that's a title this year. There's Spider-Gwen that's coming out later on this year. Shadow Clones from Spider-Gwen. That's a good title. I mean, if you guys are not reading it, how do you know? Buy a comic.
I can go online and I can look at the sales. Again, we're talking about the comic books here. We're not talking about the online sales. The online sales is a different medium.
And that's fine, but I'm talking about the quality is not as bad as some people put out there. And when I ask the question, are you reading them? Usually they're like, no, I stopped reading them because power to the people, man. I got to make a movement, and I'm boycotting comic books. Well, then you're part of the problem.
So. Well, I'm not boycotting comic books. I just don't have time for them, right?
Well, that's
like, I mean, I've got, but I mean, again, right? Like, I mean,
I got nothing you go on
YouTube and you keep listening to the anti-woke people talking about the comic book industry. It doesn't, you know, like Marvel had the recently got booted out of the studio that they had that they were sharing with on the lot, and they got moved into a much smaller location in LA because they weren't making enough money to justify the offices that they currently had. That is not a sign of a comic book company that is doing well. You keep hearing stories after story, well, not story after story, but multiple stories about DC and Marvel continuously laying people off. That is not the sign of comic book companies that are doing well.
I'll tell you why that's happening, though, Naroki, and you're missing the point. Technology is making it easier for them to make these things, so they actually need to employ less people. But that's part of it. Other parts is, yeah, the sales are down because the actual physical book sales are down, but not the digital sales. And on top of that, Disney has been trying to like cut layers of fat around all their companies because they're losing money all over the place. So that's part of the reason. It's not even because of the comic book line. Remember, Disney owns Marvel. So they're cutting fat out of everything, even Star Wars, Marvel, all the, you know, Disney Plus. They're cutting the fat a little bit because they're losing their hemorrhaging money at this point. And Ron DeSantis took them to school here in Florida, so...
Yeah, and they're losing money because they're, you know, you cannot like do 2 + 2 = 5 over the fact that they got booted out of their former office and got moved into someplace smaller because they're not making the money to justify the offices that they had. Same things happened with DC, but we're kind of getting
Actually, hold on a second, because we're coming to the end of the show here on my end at RBN. You guys know where to catch Red Pill Nation, and of course we've got Angel with publicstreamingnetwork.com.
Publicstreamingnetwork.com, you are correct, and angelespino.com.
All right, guys. It's been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show and the simulcast with Red Pill Nation. In the land of surveillance, man, third eye is king. So educate yourselves. And go ahead, Nero.
Okay, well, all right, let's get on with the next topic here. Can I get a timestamp, please?
Yes, you may.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill. Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies? See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of your women. That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.